KYW News Radio Original Podcasts. From KYW News Radio 103.9 FM, this is Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you. Presented by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org.
Hello, I'm Raquel Williams. Welcome to Bridging Philly. Period poverty is widespread and affects millions of women and girls across the globe, even here in the United States. We catch up with the head of an organization called Grab and Flow that has sheds full of menstrual and postpartum products across Philadelphia for women to take with dignity at no cost and no questions.
I modeled these off of the community fridges that popped up in South Philly.
And we're throwing it back with Sharaday Howard as she revisits the time she spent with Philly's own R&B recording artist Jill Scott when she returned to Philly for a very special visit.
I'm here at Girls High with my face on the side of my school.
All that's coming up on Bridging Philly. Period poverty is widespread and affects millions of women and girls across the globe, even here in the United States. Millions have insufficient access to menstrual products, which leads to missed school, work, and negative health outcomes overall. In fact, research shows that in the United States, between one-half and two-thirds of U.S. adolescents and women experience period poverty at some point. This widespread public health issue has sparked community reaction on the grassroots level. One organization is called Grab and Flow. It's a network of free-to-the-community menstrual and postpartum products. Grab and Flow has sheds based in South Philly and West Philly and will soon have one in Manayunk. It's simply designed for those in need to take what they want without judgment or any questions. We caught up with the founder, Shelly Aragoncillo, in front of a shed on Tasker Street to learn more. Okay, so why don't you talk about how Grab and Flow came about? How was it founded?
Yeah, so I gave birth to our son in that like 24 or 48 hours that the city shut down due to COVID. So the birth experience was a little wild. And the hospitals were quite understaffed, but also I guess product was less available because of manufacturing supply issues. But I still felt like when I got out of the hospital, I had so much excess postpartum product. And so I was trying to find places to donate that to, and there just really wasn't anywhere that I could find at the time. So I thought, okay, I'll just set up a shed outside of my house. And there was also, I could tell, a need in the community for menstrual products. And so I just thought I'll stock it with my own supplies and my own money for as long as I can make it work, with the idea of really people just taking stuff. And I just put it out into the community that it was here, and the response from the community that they wanted to help stock it was really amazing.
Tell me a little bit more of that. So when people saw that you had a little place where people can donate, you know, how many people came to you?
Yeah, I initially put it on some of our local Facebook groups, because I guess I'm old enough to still use Facebook. And the response was amazing. People just wanted to know where they could drop it off. The idea of the shed is that it's completely anonymous. And so people are free to drop off and take whenever they need to or want to, 24/7. And so I just told people where the shed was, and they started donating things and taking things as needed.
What are some of the things that you saw were donated? Was it a lot of postpartum stuff like you had, or other things?
Yeah, definitely postpartum. A lot of the ice packs that people get from the hospital, a lot of kind of bottles for post-birth cleaning things, adult diapers, and then also pads, tons and tons of pads that go as quickly as they come in.
You said you learned about the need for menstrual products. What's the need for menstrual products currently in the Philadelphia area? How bad is the need?
The need is really bad. Yeah, especially as a city with historically underserved communities in terms of healthcare access and just reproductive access, the need is dire. The ultimate goal for this is for us to not be needed, which means the government and the, you know, is doing their job in taxes and funding of menstrual products. But the idea of period poverty is really big in Philly.
Yeah, I've heard different stories, and you can share too, of young girls who can't afford to, you know, buy products. They're reusing products. They're actually recycling products and using even newspaper and things of that nature. When I first heard of that, I was just like, this is ridiculous. It's this unheard of. I mean, we
this is something natural that just happens. Mm-hmm. And so these products should just be readily available and easy to access, even if you don't have the money.
I agree 100%. And period equity goes as far as even access to like clean water and showering. If someone is menstruating and they don't have the products they need, they're missing school. And so it affects their education, it affects work, it's all of that stuff, yeah.
How many people have you seen, use the shed, and how's it been going?
Yeah, the usage is hard to gauge only because it's completely anonymous and it's set back from like any doors or cameras and things like that. But I can say that once we stock it with pads especially, things are going very quickly. We have a few locations outside of this one that are monitored a little bit more just because they're at libraries and it's the same there. Things are constantly going, but at the same time, we're definitely always getting donations, which kind of helps offset that.
Well, tell me about the different locations that you have the sheds. Where are they based and how do you figure out exactly where to place them?
So we got a grant through the city when we first started and it allowed us to expand to a few library locations. And we worked with an incredible, well, all the librarians are incredible, but we had one main librarian we worked with at the time who did a lot of research and effort into picking locations that had a need but also had a community that could contribute, because it's great to have it in a community that has a need, but if it's not stocked, it's useless. And so we have one at Walnut West, which is by the Penn campus. So we reach a lot of students that need it, but we also reach kind of a wealthier group of community members there that can donate. And we have one other location that is kind of the same idea. And we have a location opening in Manayunk at a community center.
Well, I know that you don't actually see the people who are, you know, using the sheds and getting the products, but what feedback have you gotten via email or in social media and socials from people who had a need, learned about the shed, and was able to get what they needed?
Yeah, I think social media is probably the largest thing. I just saw someone post the other day, if you need postpartum supplies, there's a really cool shed on South Franklin and Tasker in South Philly. And so definitely the word is being spread through the community. And we have, during the formula crisis of, I think it was 22 or 23, people were unable to get formula in. So if you could get it, it was so expensive to have it delivered. And so we were able to distribute between $3,000 and $4,000 worth of formula. And just people saying, I literally can't feed my child, was feedback enough for us. So we were able to do that, which was really amazing, thanks to monetary donations and things like that from the community.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
Well, let's take a look at the shed and look at some of the things that you have in there.
So we've got an assortment. We started kind of as pads and tampons and postpartum, mostly kind of hospital items. And as we've kind of discovered what the community is really needing, we've expanded to baby formula and a lot of bottle components. We've learned that for nursing folks, there's nowhere to really take the bottles that you've used once you've used them, and they're still good. And same with nursing pumps, because a lot of people get their nursing pumps through insurance. We get a ton of nursing pump donations, which is amazing. And we work with a few clinics in the city that work with underinsured, uninsured, undocumented folks who don't have access to nursing pumps. And so we're able to do that sort of pipeline, which has been really cool. And we're kind of getting into period products for folks who are just beginning to menstruate and to bleed, which has been really cool to kind of help build kits and things like that.
How often do you restock the sheds?
I could do it every day. I don't do it every day only because we do get some community donations as well, but with how quickly things go, we could stock it every day and things would go. Yeah.
Okay. So kind of take us through the process from donation to the stocking and all of that, all of that. How does that work?
Yeah, I think the best example is for the month of March, for Women's History Month, there's a group of women-owned businesses in Manayunk. They're called the Manayunk Wing Women. It was started by Brandy DeSeo. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She runs the little apple shop there. And so they collect all month, and we grab the donations from them at the end, to the point that we needed to get a storage unit because we had so many donations, which is such a great problem to have. And so we'll collect the donations, we'll bring them to the storage unit, and then we will distribute to the different locations, like the libraries. Some will go to the Manayunk location, and then I just kind of visit the storage unit every so often and restock, and then I connect with the librarians to restock those locations. Yeah.
How do you kind of keep things secure? I mean, obviously these are products that if you need it, you get it. I guess people aren't like raiding them and you come here and there's nothing there, but is there a way to secure it, or do you even worry about that?
I mean, initially at first I worried about it because I love Philly, but it's Philly. And so I expected things to go. but I think that it's such a niche product that nobody's really messing with it because it's pads and tampons, you know, and nursing pumps. And I don't really think, first of all, that there's like a resale market for nursing pumps and postpartum products. But I always just say to myself, like, if someone needs to take all of the things in the shed, then they need to take all of the things. Yeah. And they're going to get used, and we will just restock it as we can.
So when you come to a shed and a lot of the products are gone, that's probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So talk about, are there any plans to expand Grab and Flow, and other than the number of sheds, but perhaps some of the things that you put in there, like you've expanded to the breast pumps and different things of that nature. Do you find that there's a demand for any other items?
There's definitely a demand. We get a lot of questions about kind of baby clothes and baby food and things like that. But there are so many orgs, amazing organizations that are already doing that, as well as menstrual equity work in Philly. There's orgs doing that. But I think just so that we can keep on top of it and we're able to work to the best of our ability, we plan to stick with postpartum menstrual products. Kind of getting into reusable menstrual products, which is harder to stock, only because it requires that everything like be new and closed and things like that. But yeah, I think we'll probably stick with that model for now. We have had so much excess of nursing supplies, and like we were saying, it's really hard to know what you need until you're kind of in the thick of it. I would love to partner with some organization or storefronts in Philly that are doing baby things to kind of set up like a clinic or a table where people can come and figure out sizes and grab product that they need for free. And so I think that's kind of where we're heading next, is being able to bring those products more to the community than the community needing to come to us.
Any idea of the demographics? Is exactly who's using the sheds? What age? Where are they from?
I'm able to gauge demographics just from kind of city numbers and things like that by neighborhood. I would say in our neighborhood here, specifically in South Philly, it's a huge immigrant population. So it's a lot of Spanish-speaking, Mandarin-speaking, Indonesian populations. And the thing that I have found really interesting about locations is that culturally each group, you know, prefers different products and things like that. So in our location, pads go a ton. We don't really do too many tampons, I think just for cultural reasons. But I think the demographics are all across the board. The ages, I think, because we do postpartum as well, are all across the board, from young to older. It seems to be, I feel like period poverty doesn't discriminate.
Anybody could find themselves in the position where they are in need. Mm-hmm. In terms of donations, how is that handled? Where is it shipped?
So everything donation-wise comes by hand. If we have like a NHS group at a high school that wants to do a donation drive, I'll drive out and pick up the donations from them. Yeah, I say you can drop them off at any of the sheds. I live here, so I give people a secure place to drop off formula and things like that. But mostly it's me driving out to pick up, donations if it's like a larger quantity. Okay. We do accept monetary donations, which we're always in need of just for overhead costs. And that's all done through kind of Venmo and GoFundMes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's mostly local groups that are willing to host a drive, and then I pick up the product from them.
Okay. in terms of, you know, raising money, which is always an issue with nonprofits, what communities partnerships do you have?
So product wise, we have a ton of partnerships, which is amazing. We have, you know, donation drives and things like that. Financially, we need to establish some partnerships. We have just been established 501c3 in the last couple of years. So looking for grant opportunities and things like that. But it's really been community donations.
So the community has been very supportive, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's like a full mutual aid model. It was. I modeled these off of the community fridges that popped up in South Philly at the beginning of the pandemic. I thought it was such a cool idea, and so I just thought, okay, if it can sustain like that, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there is a huge mutual aid community in Philly, which is really amazing. You know, through the fridges and through this, and there's groups that do harm reduction and usage. Education and things like that. There's a lot of things happening on the ground.
Now, are there any items that you can't take? Have you received some things that you're like, okay, we really can't take these?
We can't take any open formula just for health reasons. It has to be sealed and within date. We can't do like any clothing, baby clothes, just because that's a whole different process of sorting. And sometimes people drop off food here, which I love that people are willing to donate food, but we just can't accept food product in the sheds. Yeah.
Is it just you, or do you have a team of people working with you?
So we have a board because we're a nonprofit, but on the ground, it's just myself. Yeah, my husband and my kid help sometimes, but it's myself, and I have had a lot of people reach out to ask about volunteer opportunities, and I am working on getting better about delegating tasks like that. So hopefully soon I'll have more people helping, yeah.
Wow. So you've been at this since the pandemic. It's just you on the ground. Mm-hmm. You ever get tired, or this seeing the need and the fact that these sheds are empty all the time, like, is that what keeps you going?
Yeah, so I've worked in the nonprofit space or like the reproductive justice space for a long time. It is exhausting because it's so draining to see what people go through and how easily these things could be accessed and they're not. But I have learned that you have to take a small break every once in a while and work to what you're capable of doing. And I think that's what's sustained it for so long, is I try not to overdo it, but I will happily overdo it if there's like a formula need or something like that. Yeah. And I think I'm just continually inspired by the other groups in the city that are doing work in the space. And so, yeah, it's definitely a energetic atmosphere.
Do you often partner with the other organizations?
Yeah. So sometimes we will have like meetings and things just to discuss, you know, what the need is. But I think there's a really cool group. You know, there are some groups doing work in prisons and shelters. We've worked with some of the organizations at Jeff that do shelter work. And so we give them donations. And yeah, there's really a cool crossover that when we have kind of an excess, we're able to give to those organizations that don't have as much opportunity to collect things.
With so much work being done in this space, I'm wondering about legislation and working with lawmakers to try to ease this burden. What's the work going on there? Do they realize that this is something that needs some attention?
Yeah, I think the realization is there. I know Council Member Nina Ahmed, I think I'm saying it correctly, has some legislation going. And I think that with awareness, like you all just even speaking about it on the radio and people talking about menstruation and bleeding and the groups forming, it's definitely bringing awareness to the need. And the work is being done on the ground, but it's not sustainable. And so our ultimate goal is to not exist. You know, like if people didn't have the need, if the city and the state and the government funded these types of things, we wouldn't have to do the work.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I like to sometimes tell people you have a magic wand. Mm-hmm. What is it? What changes can be made so this burden can be eased and, you know, women, people, menstruating individuals can, you know, new moms can just have what they need?
I think supplying schools with menstrual supplies is like the first and easiest step. There are organizations now in Philly that are starting to do that, which is incredible, but there's still a need because no one organization can do that themselves. Just lowering prices of menstrual products, ridding of all taxes of menstrual products, and then postpartum, I think I know that pumps and things like that are accessible through insurance, but beyond that, that's it. And it's so much more than a pump. It's figuring out what size flanges you need and figuring out what pump actually works and things like that. And so, I think more coverage through SNAP and benefits like that to cover formula product, tampons and pads is necessary. And I also think just the education of it, just talking about bleeding and speaking to kids when they're younger, because sometimes they're not getting that education at home. And I think Philly is a city that relies heavily on school for food and education and resources. That seems like the easiest step to me.
Yeah, those conversations are important. And sometimes, and in some cultures, those conversations are not had for mm-hmm. whatever reason. So, you know, as you were talking about legislation and, you know, SNAP benefits, there are cuts. There are cuts that are becoming, and they're coming in drips and drabs. And, you know, so many people in the area are going to be affected by the cuts if they haven't already felt it. Are you ready for the need to increase because it is coming?
Yeah, so we saw that I guess it was just a few months ago when there were cuts to SNAP and to WIC benefits. And I wanted to apply for a grant through the city to fund formula donations. And there was a discussion about how that doesn't really count as food. And I was like, no, baby formula is food. Hello. And so, yeah, so I feel like I'm starting to have the conversations that, you know, people need to feed their children. And so I think we are looking at grants and things like that to kind of be prepared for more of that situation. Yeah.
You know, the work that you're doing is important. And how do you actually, I know the communities, a lot of people in the communities know about it, but how do you get the word out to other people that, hey, these sheds are here if you know anybody?
Social media has actually been really great for that. So we have an Instagram page and a Facebook page. We're on LinkedIn. And I think that using that platform to, you know, one person hears about it and then they spread it. And then also through things like you all are doing, like through interviews and highlights and things like that. Yeah.
I think that takes care of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so lovely to meet you. Yeah, thanks.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
Welcome back to Bridging Philly. Philly's own sultry R&B recording artist Jill Scott returned to Philly in 2024 when Girls High celebrated their 175th anniversary. A mural of her was unveiled at the school and Sharaday Howard was there. In honor of Jill Scott's new album, Sharaday Howard looks back and revisits their conversation on this week's Shara in the City.
Is it the way?
I'm all over this city. I'm glad to be here to inspire young women.
This week on Shara in the City, it's a homecoming. Jill Scott, or Jilly from Philly, gets her own mural at her alma mater, Girls High. And she shares her excitement as well as her tears with us.
It was a day. It has been a very, very long day.
But a good one.
One of the best of my entire life. And I'm telling you, I have had some days.
Jill Scott and I just kind of looked up at her three-story high mural, showing her wearing her famous Jilly from Philly smile with her arms outstretched, surrounded by Girls High girls, and all of them wearing golden crowns.
And this one, this one is something.
We talked about the mural and the artist.
And when you look at the mural and you see the crowns, you know, I love that.
That was such a great idea.
Man, that me and that man.
Patrick. Let's talk about Patrick.
Let's talk about Patrick Dower. So Patrick and I, we met on Instagram. I saw his work and I was like, what's up with the halos? This halo that he does. And it's gold. It's really gorgeous. So I hit him up. Anyway, long story short, we ended up talking. We talked. Mural Arts brought this to my attention, that this is something that they were even considering doing. First, I cried a lot. And I was like, word. Then it's Patrick Dower. He was like, say word. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, he was like, I'll do it. And then it took like a year and a half. And then I'm here at Girls High with my face on the side of my school.
Bigger than life.
It's huge. And it's gorgeous.
And you almost think, what else would have been on that wall?
I don't even know.
Right?
But I'm glad it's me. I am. I talked to that man so much. And I had no idea. I just thought I made a new friend. That's it.
Sometimes that's enough, but this was bigger than that.
Seeing for him to be this artist, and, you know, murals sometimes with love and respect, sometimes they are the essence of a person. Ooh. And sometimes they look like a person, but they doesn't have the essence. Ooh. This man put me on there and then put my essence on
he
top
captured
of it,
you.
Inside of it. You just don't know how the thing is going to work.
And what struck me most was that Jill Scott, with her own legacy here in Philly, was filled with nothing but joy, gratitude, and a whole bunch of memories.
I wish my dad could have seen this. I wish my grandmother could have seen this.
You know they're watching. That said all the things.
It's an affirmation, a check mark. It is a stamp, a pat on the back that every inch of it was for a purpose. And the purpose is, which I'm so grateful for that I get this, but it's also a very big benefit to a lot of people in different ways at different times I didn't know.
It's hitting different for everybody.
It's different for everybody. Somebody else today was like, I remember when you were performing at October Gallery. And I was like, yeah. Or getting, you know, $12 for a poem. You know, yeah. A performance at a block party.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all over this city. I'm
everywhere.
All over this city. I worked all the jobs.
You said all the jobs.
All
not
the
one,
jobs.
Two, three, but all the jobs.
All over the city.
North Philly, West Philly.
All over. And even
G-Town.
Cherry Hill Mall. Worked there, too.
Well, you got there. You went over the bridge.
I went over the bridge. That was a big deal. I was terrified. It's all of this. Every part of it is just an affirmation.
And you're home now.
Yes, I am.
Welcome home.
Thank you so much.
You look over that crowd and you see those girls, and they're listening. Their ears are just all the way open, just because what you say matters.
Mm.
How do you convey to them that their voice matters here in Philly?
I think I just did. I think I just confirmed to them that you don't know, but as long as you're moving in the direction of peace of mind and joy, the rest of the stuff falls into place in a way that you cannot imagine. It's far better than you dream. Just stay true to this thing. Follow that path. I'm glad to be here to inspire young women to be all of themselves and to go ahead and be joyful. Follow it. Do you see all those bright lights?
All of them.
Ooh! It was a lot of just bright lights just shining at me.
And honestly, smiles from ear to ear.
What? And tears and thoughts and
impossibilities.
So many.
So then when you think about that little girl who was looking for tokens.
Yeah.
And trying to get to school and trying to figure it all out and how she was going to get that diploma. What would you tell her right now?
This too shall pass. And this too. And this too. Listen, that's what I would tell myself, because it's hard to believe when things are not going right that it'll ever go right. It's hard to believe that.
And then you look up and your face, your whole spirit is on a wall facing Broad Street.
I'm not doing anything by myself, not a thing.
And then we talked about that camp she started for kids in North Philly.
The Lord has sent me a village of beautiful spirits that help me with my visions. Mm. I have Blues Babe Foundation because I went to camp, a free camp. My mom just needed to keep me busy while she went to work. And I went and I found out that grass feels good underfoot.
Doesn't it?
And yeah.
In the shade of a tree.
Listen, and that horses, if you sing to them, the right one will come to you. Mm. I found
sometimes
out that,
you gotta know.
That a s'more is a real thing. Like, I didn't know that. I just saw that on the Brady Bunch. You know, but a s'more was a real thing. I learned that in camp. So all of these years later, had to create a camp because us a lot of North Philly kids that have no idea that there's anything real outside of what they're experiencing at this moment. So you get to sit under a tree. I learned that trees flirt.
They do. It's
like,
not just about tickling the root.
Why are you looking at me like that? Like, I learned that you can tell a tree a secret.
Mm. And they'll keep it.
And they'll keep it forever. Mm. There's a lot of people. They helped me because I could not. There's no way I could do this all.
Look at you did
that. But I'm doing all right.
Hey, now I'm going to let you go and let you take those shoes off.
Oh, they're fine. I just can't wait to wash my face.
One last message.
Yes.
To Philly.
Thank you for all of it, the highs and the lows. Look, anybody could talk about humanity to me, but I've had some of the best people walk me home to make sure I was safe. Listen, you can't tell me about the goodness of people. And I'm grateful for that. So, so very grateful. That's what Philadelphia has taught me. That's what it is.
Right.
You never know. And then the possibility is there. Do it!
Thank you for joining us. Bridging Philly is brought to you by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org. For more information on Bridging Philly, follow KYW News Radio on social media. And if you have any ideas for interesting features that you'd like to share, feel free to get in touch with us at bridgingphilly@kywnewsradio.com. For Sharaday Howard and our producer Sabrina Boyd-Circa, I'm Raquel Williams. Be well.